It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. You each are treasured, valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
Yes, it is Tuesday, and it's the day after that dreaded day, and I am here ready to go.
I know you are, and we've got a lot going on, a jam-packed show planned for you today as well. We'll be talking with Dr. James Lyons-Weiler about these OSHA mandates and vaccine mandates, and also we'll be talking with Alex Keeler with the RNC about this subject as well. As you, I think, all know by now, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals put a stay on this OSHA vaccine mandate. And it's so interesting, Steve. The Biden says that they're not mandating it, but yet they use a executive agency to mandate it. And then there's the injunctions on this. There's the incentives. I had a friend of mine call the other day. And my friends, if you know that this is going on, apparently there's a couple of schools up in, I think, Fort Collins and possibly in Greeley that they are vaccinating kids there on campus without parents' notification and using incentives to do that. Now, difficult, I feel if I call those schools up and ask, I'm probably not going to get the correct answer. And we certainly want to make sure that we are factual on everything. So if, in fact, you know that this is true, I would greatly appreciate it if you know that this is going on in any of the schools in Colorado right now. I think it's important that we ask the question. We want to source the question. I wouldn't put it past them on this question, Steve.
No, not at all. I mean, this is how we do, why we do what we do and how we do it type of thing. And yeah, we need to know.
Yeah, and we always want to get it right. There's so many different conversations going on out there. The chances are pretty high, but we want to make sure that we are factual. So let me know about that. And be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get a first look at all of our upcoming guests for the next week, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcast. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And I am getting caught up on those. I'm working through those. So I love hearing from you. And I I'm going to be working on a new plan to get a little bit more on top of that. We've got such a great team, but that is one spot that my email inbox has got to, something's got to change. And I'm working on that for sure, because I want to make sure that we stay in contact with you on a timely basis. And thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And my gosh, we're seeing it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or the livelihood. This whole OSHA thing is livelihood. And that's via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And a couple of things, there are jobs out there that people, there's jobs to work at. And a couple of my sponsors, Kimberly Bell with Kunjani Coffee, they're looking for a couple of baristas. And so you can drop by Kunjani Coffee there at the northwest corner of Jordan Road and Lincoln, or you can send her an email at kim@kunjanicoffee.com if you're interested and want to send your resume over. And then Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool is also looking for a retail sales associate, particularly as they're coming into this Christmas Hanukkah season. And you can email Hal at Hal@Castlegate.com. So it's a lot of opportunity out there, and people need to step into that, Steve.
It almost sounds like Kim Munson's employment agency.
Yeah, I know it. It does. It does. But I get to work with these great partners, and certainly want to help them. And Brad Beck had done an excellent op-ed that's on the website, Help Wanted, about different businesses that are looking for employees. So I'd recommend that people check that out as well. Steve, I want to go over to our quote for today. And this is from George Orwell. And with what we're looking at with this whole OSHA thing, I think it's a very timely. And George Orwell, he was a novelist, essayist, and critic famous for his novels Animal Farm. He wrote that in 1945. He wrote 1984 in 1949. And the fictional but autobiographical Down and Out in Paris and London, and then Homage to Catalonia. He was born in 1903. He died in 1950. And let's just unpack this just a little bit, Steve. He said, all tyrannies rule through fraud and force, but once the fraud is exposed, they must rely exclusively on force. And we've gone from the 2 weeks to flatten the curve to, if you don't take the jab, you're going to lose your job. And you wonder how on earth that happened. I saw this meme recently. It says the most difficult thing about the 2 weeks to flatten the curve is the first 2 years. And there seems to be a lot of truth in that, huh?
I quoted that to some, we got together in Castle Rock over the weekend with some family, and, they thought that was pretty good. You know, you say Orwell was a novelist, essayist, and a critic, but you probably should also put the word prophet behind that. I mean, that's today. Here we are.
This is where we are in America today. And as we go through these headlines, I've been thinking a lot about it. They seem somewhat overwhelming. We're really at a defining time in our country. And, you know, this big spending bill was just passed. Very frustrated that we had 13 senators. And I was talking to Patty about this yesterday, and they needed 60 to get that through the Senate. And three of the leaders they're supposed to be representatives, but considered leaders. And that is Charles Grassley from Iowa and Lindsey Graham from South Carolina and Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. They're the ones that put that baby over the top in the Senate. That's a bit disheartening to me, Steve. But you know what? The elections are coming up. Of course, the senators are every 6 years. But I think that we probably need to get busy and primary these people that are not representing we the people, but that are representing special interests on both sides of the aisle, Steve.
Sorry, I'm trying to get your guest up here.
Okay, not a problem. So with that, I just was saying that we need to, I'm just very frustrated that the Republicans did not hold a line on this major spending bill, because as Vladimir Lenin said, the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And of course, another way to crush the middle class is to use public policy to take away their livelihoods.
You mean like shutting down another pipeline, that kind of public policy?
Yes, and and you and I were talking in the pre-call, Steve, is at this particular point in time, there is supply. Prices have gone up, but there is supply. You start shutting down additional pipelines, and we'll start to have lack of supply, and that's going to be very difficult for the middle class, Steve.
Well, you know, okay, I didn't tell you about this, and I hate to broadside you with something, but I got a question for you, and let me set this up. Let's see, who is this? Newsbusters.org, which I don't know, how good or bad they are, but they're commenting on a USA Today poll, recent poll, on Biden's popularity, and is now down to, 38% who approve, 59% disapprove. My question to you is, what's wrong with the 38%? How much more do you have to be beaten and pummeled by bad government policy before you disapprove of this administration?
That's a very good question, and I don't have the answer to that, Steve. But maybe our next guest does, and that's Dr. James Lyons Weiler, and he is the founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, and he has been at the forefront of well, I guess he'll be here in just a minute then, of all of this vaccine stuff that's been going on. And so while we're waiting to get James on the line here, I wanted to go through some of the headlines regarding this. As many of you know, President Brandon has actually been trying to use OSHA to say that any company that has 100 employees or more, that they need to mandate vaccinations for those employees, or otherwise those people will lose their job. And it's unbelievable how we could get to this particular point.
President Brandon. This chair I sit on is, you know, it's high by the console, and it's easy to fall out of, and you just made me fall out of it by laughing. That was good. But, you know, the question is, I've been, you know, following this, and the fines, if this does become reality, and Lord hope not, $14,000 for each occurrence, you know, that these companies would be, you know, fined. Man, that's some serious change.
So that what that means is they would have to let people go. I mean, people would have to, and as concerning as that is, and it is, it just puts a knot in my stomach when I think about people losing their jobs. But this is a significant disruption. We've also talked about that this could be a real renaissance of entrepreneurship. We're going to have to get around this licensing thing, because government through licensing basically says who can be in business and who cannot be in business. And quite frankly, I think people have maybe had some comfort in that something is licensed. But again, I think we can get to the free market where instead of licensing, and this is actually how I do business, is typically business on referrals. And that's why the sponsors of the shows, both shows, the America's Veteran Stories and the Kim Munson Show, that's basically a great referral. I can highly recommend each and every one of them. And so you don't really need a license, although I'm sure they all are. You don't really need a license for that, because I know them. I know their integrity. I know how they do their businesses. And that is with all these businesses. And Hooters Restaurants is a sponsor of mine because it's really a long story. It's a story about government trying to decide which businesses, legal businesses, can be in business and which can't. And this was back when I was on city council. And this was before the whole COVID thing. This was, and I just saw a big danger in business, in government, city councils trying to determine which businesses can be in business in a city and which cannot. And I could see danger with city councils maybe deciding which churches could be in business. I mean, can you believe that we actually, through the whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, that government said that churches were not essential, but these big box stores were essential businesses? I mean, my friends, it's crazy. And so all of these sponsors that I get to work with do believe in this American idea and this idea that we need to protect that. And Hooters Restaurants is one of those businesses. They have 5 locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have $10 specials on hamburgers right now. They've held the line on that, even though beef is going up significantly. And they're $10. And they have a mushroom Swiss burger, a bacon blue burger, Southwest burger, Western burger, mac and cheese burger, Cali burger, and probably just a plain old burger, which that's normally where I go. But be sure and check that out. Check out all my sponsors at my website, KimMunson.com. We'll go to break. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Yeah. And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. It's been very interesting. I think many of you have seen the headlines that came out just recently that Governor Polis basically has paid very little in income taxes over the years. And in fact, it's reported that he paid zero income tax from 2013 to 2015. And that is according to a new ProPublica report blasting Polis's tight-fisted tax withholding ways that everyone, even liberals, are talking about. And continues on, it says, adding insult to arrogance, the report from this left-leaning publication also revealed how the millionaire used his charity foundations to keep his taxes low while also promoting himself shamelessly leading up to the governor's race. It says that Polis, well, I try not to call names on that, so I'm not going to do that. He says that not being a one-trick pony and without a hint of shame, the governor's office is now demanding the Democrat-controlled legislature hire more communication staffers for him at a cost of nearly $300,000 a year. He wants four more staffers because he's going into an election year, and instead of paying for it out of his campaign, he's making the taxpayers foot the bill. The Colorado Sun reports this explanation came with the governor's budget request. Without the additional capacity, the governor's office will struggle to provide this information to meet Coloradans' justifiably high standards, and transparency and accountability will be difficult to ensure, the request says. What Polis is threatening here is to withhold information, lie, and cover up to Coloradans unless the legislature gives him what he wants, a PR team to help him win re-election. The voters of Colorado are tired of being lied to, and they're sick and tired of Polis's threats. Put it on a bumper sticker so you don't forget. Threats and lies for you in 2022, then vote Polis. I find that pretty interesting, Steve. And
by the way, Patty did say that piece that you're looking at did come from Colorado Peak Politics.
Okay. We wanted to make sure that we sourced that. Steve, I really think that low taxes are really important. And I think that all of us agree that there is some amount of taxes that we need to pay. Certainly in the Constitution, there are certain things that the federal government is supposed to do. They are so far out of their lane now. It's really unbelievable. And to try to pull this back is super difficult. It's going to get pulled back one way or another, Steve, because we cannot be printing and spending the kind of money that Washington is spending right now without there coming a day of reckoning. And so there will be a day of reckoning. I would hope that we would start to elect representatives who would have the chops to be able to make the hard decisions and also have the ability to communicate to Americans that this is not free money, that we all are going to have to tighten our belt. We're going to have to make some changes on this. And otherwise, our republic will implode because of irresponsible spending. So with that, though, taxes. We need to bring taxes down. We need to bring rules and regulations down. We need to bring government spending down. But the problem is you have these left-leaning PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that they talk about raising taxes. But then when it really comes to their own money, look at what they do. And I don't disagree. I bet Polis paid, was legal within what he did. Ethical, maybe not, but legal within the tax code. But when he's out there advocating for higher and higher fees, and we look at the transportation bill that was passed here in Colorado, and then he paid zero income tax in 2013 through 2015, there's something that just doesn't pass the smell test there, Steve.
Well, and, in scurrying around looking for some of the background information on that, it was brought up about what his worth is today and how it, got there in terms of a family business that was sold in the 90s. And so he can afford, my point is he can afford an accounting staff to go in and find all these loopholes and to make it happen. You know, the average Joe can't do that.
Well, and to that point, with President Brandon's plan here regarding hiring more and more IRS agents that are going to, they're not going to be going after the billionaires and the millionaires. They're going to be going after the mom and pop businesses. And we talked about it last week that the mom and pop business may get a letter from the IRS and to respond to that. Sometimes they may look at it and say, my gosh, I'd have to hire accountants and attorneys on this. I don't have the wherewithal to do that. I'll just pay that fine. And so it'll be, again, you go back to the Declaration of Independence. And this is just amazing to me that when they were talking about the usurpations, there's 27 of them in the Declaration of King George, where they said one of the things he had done, King George had erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. Does that not sound like these particular policies that may be instituted now? And again, there's been such an assault on the middle class. But under socialism, communism, there cannot be a vibrant middle class. And so with the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, we saw this assault on your quote-unquote non-essential businesses, which were your little businesses. And then we see this continuing with, again, this hiring IRS agents to go after our middle class businesses. And so we're at a very disconcerting time, Producer Steve.
Well, Ben Martin could help us out here. This is in our genealogy, I guess. I mean, with the Boston Tea Party, wasn't just a bunch of guys who just met one night and decided to, you know, board those ships and throw the tea overboard. There was something brewing. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Quite a while, you know, before that particular event, you know, showed up. Yes, and it was a huge pushback on the king.
Well, and so one of the things, here we have King Polis,
yes,
who is continuing. And Patty and I have had a conversation about this. There's going to be this movement. Probably it's going to be on the 2022 ballot, and that is to reduce income taxes here in Colorado. I love that idea. And apparently Polis has been indicating he might support that. Well, obviously he'd support it. If he's not paying any income taxes in 2013, 14, and 15, of course he would support that because he's already been doing that. He realizes how beneficial that is.
And what a grand thing to do in an election year.
And Patty and I have been talking about it, but look at all of the other fees and all of the other little taxes. In some ways, that is more difficult to fight because, for example, you know, all these little municipalities that had tax increases on the ballot this last election cycle. And so you get your city taxes, you get your metro district taxes, your property taxes for school, metro districts, counties. Steve, I think that when you got your car registration, there's this little fee here, a little fee there. And those things are very, very difficult to fight. Love the fact to bring down our income taxes, and that's great. But what he's going to do and all these PBIs are going to do is they're going to ramp it up on all these other things that's much more difficult to fight, Steve.
Well, yeah, and those list of fees, when I get that document from Douglas County, it's almost laughable to a degree. But they really hit me where it hurts this year. Now they have an age of vehicle fee, which apparently it's the first time I've seen it. So it must kick in at 25 years. So anyway, there's another $7 in their pocket.
Yes. And then with that, let's just talk about then our pockets. And that is energy. We talk about it all the time on our Health and Hydrocarbon show, that reliable, affordable, efficient, and abundant energy has been something that has really empowered us to go after our hopes and dreams. We have really taken that for granted. And so this is another thing that has been under assault for quite some time. It's not about the environment. My friends, if it was really about the environment, do you think all of those elites would be taking their jets to their climate conferences? It's not really about that. It's once again squeezing the middle class. And here in Colorado, we've seen that Xcel has been in bed with, and I love the fact I can turn my lights on and I have energy to warm my home in the winter and cool my home in the summer. But one of those things that has been fundamental in that has been fossil fuels, clean burning fossil fuels, clean burning coal, clean burning natural gas. And we saw early, 2010, 2011, I think that there was policies that were being put forward through the legislature that really put our coal industry, moving them towards getting them out of business. And of course, then we've seen that same strategy is being used now on natural gas. But looking at the Colorado Sun just recently reported that closing this coal-fired plant in Pueblo to meet Colorado's climate goals is easier said than done. It says this much is certain, Comanche 3 XL Energy's $1.3 billion coal-fired plant in Pueblo is going to close. When and how are now issues of intense debate before the Colorado Public Utilities Commission. Once again, this is a commission. This is not elected representatives. Says the fate of the plant, the state's largest single emitter of carbon dioxide, is key to Colorado meeting its greenhouse gas reduction targets and for Xcel to fulfill its statutory requirement to cut its emissions 80% over 2005 levels by 2030. Steve, I want to just talk just a little bit about that. 2005 in Colorado was before we had significant growth. And so why have they pulled that particular year as the benchmark? And they want to decrease our emissions 80% from that particular level. I mean, it's almost impossible to do that. And once again, this is going to hurt the middle class, everyday mom and pop operations. And one has to ask why. But yet Xcel has been in bed with Democrat politicians and also Republican politicians to shut down fossil fuels here. And just think about it. That moves the whole consumer base to electricity. And that is what Xcel does. And so use public policy to shut down your competitors. And then the other thing is though, wind and solar is not reliable, so it still has to be backed up by fossil fuels. You see, in California, they're having rolling blackouts, and one of the reasons is they're pushed towards wind and solar, but yet they have to buy fossil fuel energy from other states to make sure that they can try to prevent those rolling blackouts. So it's just this continued assault on the middle class that is so frustrating to me, Steve.
Can I repeat my demand? You want to reduce greenhouse gases, that's fine, that's laudable. But, you know, power generation plants are rated by the megawattage that they can generate. And you want to shut down this plant in Pueblo? Fine. Whatever their megawattage is, I want to know that you have a renewable replacement for each one of those megawatts. Otherwise, you're just hurting people and all this baloney with brownouts and blackouts. It's just not good policy.
It is not good policy for sure. And we're going to need to remember that as we go to the ballot. The election 2022 is right around the corner, and we need to remember that as we're doing that. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another great sponsor of mine is Kirsch Insurance Group, and they are specialists in the Medicare arena. And we currently are in it's open enrollment period. The government says this is when you can make your changes, and that is from October 15th through December 7th. And the great thing about Kirsch Insurance Group is they don't work with just one company. They work with most all of the carriers here in Colorado. And they can, they have a proprietary software where they can run your medications, your prescriptions, and determine what company is going to be best for you next year. And so don't assume that what you have right now is what's going to happen with your company next year. You need to check that out. It doesn't cost you anything to do that. So reach out to Kirsch Insurance Group. Their website is iKirsch. That's KIRSCH.com. That's iKirsch.com. And set yourself up for success in 2022 by reaching out to Kirsch Insurance Group. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help.
Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Alex Keeler. And he is the Southwest Communications Director for the RNC, and wanted to talk with him about President Brandon's OSHA mandates regarding vaccines, and then the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, their stay on this just last Saturday. Just remarkable things that's happening in our country right now. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So it's good to have you. This is these vaccine mandates, Alex, are just almost beyond belief. We were talking about it earlier in the show. We've gone from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to if you don't get the jab, you're going to lose your job. How did this happen? And, you know, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, it's very frustrating to watch. I mean, you know, you've got people who are, you know, looking at the vaccine and making a personal decision on what's best for them. And that's something that our country was founded on, that you get to make decisions for yourself and for your family. And so it's not supposed to come from the government. You're not supposed to be mandated to do anything from the federal government. And so that's exactly what we're seeing. The Biden administration got in. And the frustrating part to me is that, you know, if you look back, the Biden administration just a few months ago was telling us that the federal government did not have the authority and that it was unconstitutional for them to put down a vaccine mandate. And now they're doing the exact opposite and trying to push it through OSHA, which is, you know, unconstitutional again. And so I'm glad that the Fifth Circuit, you know, appeals court ruled that way. And now you see yesterday there was a headline that the Biden administration is just saying to ignore the courts. And that small businesses and, you know, those with over 100 employees should just keep trying to implement this while the courts say it should be paused. So it's very frustrating to watch this whole thing. It puts not only individuals in a bind as to whether they should get the shot or not, but also small business owners who have helped get us through this pandemic and keep people employed and earning paychecks through this 2-year period. So it's very frustrating on all levels. And I'm hoping that the courts will end up deciding that this is unconstitutional.
So what's this process going to be now, Alex? We've talked about it, seems, and also kind of from a schematic standpoint, the Biden administration, they say, well, the federal government isn't really mandating it. It's this coercion that we've really seen that basically it's said to businesses, if you don't do our will, then you can't do business. So they're saying it's not really a mandate directly from the federal government to the individual. It seems it's almost more sinister to me.
Yeah, I mean, for them to say that is absolutely ridiculous when they're threatening businesses with fines of up to $130,000. So when you're a small business owner who's facing that fines of $130,000, if you do not comply, you are then, of course, going to push it down to your employees and say that we need to get vaccinated. And so while we encourage people to get vaccinated, it should be up to the individual and the individual's choice. And that's how this country, it's one of this country's great values, is that you have bodily autonomy and that you can make decisions for yourself. You have the individual freedom to do so. Now it's coming from the top down. And to say that it's not, a federal mandate is just ridiculous.
So, Alex, what's going to happen here with this this stay, I guess, by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals? So what happens now? So let's say that I am a business and I've got 101 employees. First of all, do I fire two? Or that's not funny, actually. But so what's going to happen here? If I have a business and I have over 100 employees, what would you say to this business owner?
Well, I would say just watch what's happening in the courts. You know, just wait this out. The RNC is also fighting this. It's filed a lawsuit. There are lawsuits in many different states. They're coming together against this mandate. So for now, I would just sit back, hold tight, and wait and watch what happens in the courts. Hopefully the courts rule in our favor that this is unconstitutional and that it's wrong and that the federal government cannot force businesses and individuals to do this. So just sit tight, watch, and hope for the best. And trust me, we're fighting every day to make sure that this doesn't go through.
So at this particular point in time, business as usual. Any idea on time frame on this, Alex?
I think it's going to be a little bit before we know, right? This mandate is not supposed to go in until January. And so this is working its way through the courts. There's going to be a few different things that have to happen in the courts as multiple states now have filed these lawsuits. And so eventually it will become one lawsuit. And then there could be others filed as well. So it could be a little while, but I would expect it to be, in January around that time when the mandate is supposed to go in place.
Okay, that brings up two questions. First thing is very possibly then this is going to end up at the Supreme Court. What if the Supreme Court doesn't take it? So what would that
mean?
Well, that's a what if, huh?
Yeah, that's a big what if. You know, I won't speculate on that. I'm hoping they do take it up, and I expect that they will. But that's a big what if, and I don't think we can speculate on that just yet. But, you know, if the Supreme Court doesn't take it up, then it would go back to the lower court, and it would be the lower court's ruling, depending on what they ruled. So we'll see how it goes. I'm optimistic that the courts will rule in our favor because, as we both say, obviously unconstitutional. We're optimistic about our lawsuits. We feel good about, what we have in those lawsuits and the backing that we have legally. And so we'll see what happens in the courts. And, we'll hope that they uphold what the Fifth Circuit did just the other day.
So, Alex, we have my researcher has found a number of different headlines, and I've been going through this, and the it seems to me, if this was really a pandemic, if we were really at a spot where humankind was, where it was as dangerous as it is, it's almost like you wouldn't wait until January 1 or whatever to force this. So it seems more tyrannical, more of a grab for power than actually caring about people. And then the fact that with these fines, I'm seeing headlines that the efficacy of these vaccines reduces over time. There's just, people are so confused. And I feel that there's this kind of this oppression that people are everyday people are just really getting a little weary of all this. What's your comments on that, Alex?
Well, I would say that, as we both know, Democrats are the party of control and they're the party of big government. And so that's exactly what we're seeing right now. It seems like these mandates, these mask mandates and all sorts of things that they're doing are more about control than they are about safety. When you really, dig below the surface to actually look at the science behind it and all these different things. So you also look at the southern states, right? You've got Texas and Florida and some of these southern states who have not implemented a, widespread mask mandate or widespread bans, different things like that, where if you look at the COVID case rates in the southern states, Texas and Florida, they're actually way below where the northern states are. So you can see that, you don't really have to do these widespread mask mandates or, widespread vaccine mandates. And the science is showing us that you can actually be okay without doing those things and implementing those things. So to me, this is more about Democrats trying to control us and control our lives than it is actually about the science and actually about mitigating the risk from this virus.
Alex, I feel that we've been really living, I think, in the best of times. When you look at Americans and our quality of life, we've been really lucky with that, and I think we've taken it for granted. And so this control that we now see from the Democrat, and Alex, I would say this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK, because JFK actually reduced taxes. This is a totally different Democrat Party that is all about elite control of the people. How did that happen? Have you comments on that?
Well, it's interesting you're talking about JFK. You know, if we look back, he would be a Republican by today's standards. So, I think you're right about the elites. It seems like the elites have gotten control of the Democrat Party. They're the party of the elites at this point, the coastal elites. And so it's really interesting to kind of watch how they capitulate to them. You know, you want to talk about climate change, right? It's just hypocrisy up and down the line where, you know, they're going to go fly to a climate change conference and just fly on their private jets and, you know, be in their big SUVs, you know, emitting more emissions than an everyday American. And they do that on, you know, a regular basis when they're doing these things. So, yeah, the Democrat Party has definitely become the party of elites. And so it's frustrating to watch. But the good news is, right, that it seems like people are waking up and figuring this out. We had all these election wins last week for the Republican Party in places that we hadn't had wins, you know, in a very long time, and in races we hadn't won in a very long time, including, you know, mayoral races, school board races, city council races, and that includes Colorado. The trend seemed to be going blue in Colorado, and then you look at what happened last Tuesday, and there's a lot of hope that we can actually stem the tide of what the Democrats are doing, because people are waking up and figuring it out that this is no longer your granddad's Democrat Party.
Well, it isn't. And to that point, Alex, we actually, on our voters guide, we typically have not recommended candidates. And I had so many great school board candidates that reached out. And any candidate, no matter what party, anybody that reaches out, I will put them on the show. I haven't had any really left-wing Democrats request that, but I would put them on the show for sure. But we had a lot of great people that stepped forward to run for school boards. And a friend of mine reached out and said that with the group that he was working with, that they had 30 wins, they had 13 losses, but there were 7 school boards that they work with here in Colorado that moved from blue to red. And so there is something really exciting happening. But I want to ask you, Alex Keeler, when we come back, and you are the Southwest Communications Coordinator for the RNC, just about what your thoughts are on whether or not the Democrats are going to double down. We have, you know, basically a year now until 2022. Can they inflict so much damage? What are we going to do about that? So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another great sponsor of the show is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And I mentioned in the first segment that Hal Van Herkey, they're looking for a retail sales associate. And so great place to work would be Castlegate Knife and Tool. But they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And whether or not you're going to be buying your gift, your Hanukkah or your Christmas gift for a collector or a chef or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to do your shopping. Check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Alex Keeler.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with 3 Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. 3 Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at 3 Points Financial working for you to navigate these uncharted waters. Check out 3pointsfinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's 3pointsfinancial.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Money, 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 money.
welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And on the line with me is Alex Keeler, and he is the Southwest Regional Communications Director for the RNC. And we talked about the OSHA mandates, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals stay on these mandates. And great advice on that, Alex, for these employers right now. Just sit tight, keep doing business, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Sit tight, you know, watch the headlines, watch what the courts are doing, but just keep doing business right now.
So with that, and I know the RNC is really working to and the narrative has changed. It's been so interesting. I've had people say that their parents said to them, oh, the Republican Party is the party of fat cats and big business, and that the Democrat Party was the party of the little guy. Actually, that's totally flipped, if in fact that was true. It is now that the Republican Party is the party of the little guy, everyday people, small businesses, working to just have, say, government stay out of my way. I want government small. I want to be able to control my life. When did that switch, Alex?
Really, I think it was with President Trump. Right. I mean, in his 2016 campaign, he really made that a focal point, was that he stood up for the forgotten man and woman of America. And so you saw these big swaths of people, in the Midwest, really stand up for him and say, actually, you know what? This is our guy. And the Republicans are actually the ones that stand for our values of faith, family, opportunity, and freedom, and also for jobs and for a good economy. So really, I think it was Donald Trump that stood up for that and spoke directly to those people and really showed them that the Republican Party is the party for you. So it was fascinating to watch. And I think that's going to continue, as we talked about in the last segment, where Democrats have become the party of elites. And so now the Republican Party is the party of the forgotten man and woman of America.
Well, and as you were saying that, Alex, I was thinking about the Republican Party before Trump, when there was this idea that they were big business and big government. And I realized that big business and big government like each other. And right now, big business and big government, the Democrats seem to like each other. But it's been the middle class, this big, broad middle class, which is the American dream. So even when back in the day when there might have been Republicans that were considered kind of fat cats, it wasn't so much about controlling everyday people's lives. This is something really new that is happening with this Democrat Party. When I say it's really new, it's actually, we've seen policies that have been pushed forward. And I think in a way, kind of bipartisanship, we've acquiesced to some of those policies over the years, but it put in place this big control. And I just don't think Republicans ever really wanted to control people's lives, whereas what we're seeing with this Democrat Party now, they want to control people's lives. Is that a fair analysis? I'm actually just processing this as we're talking. So your thoughts on that, Alex?
Yeah, no, I would say that's true, right? The Democrats are the party of big government and of control. And we've seen that, you know, for years and years now, and it just continues. Whenever Democrats are in power, the government grows at an alarming rate. And so, you know, they've also, for a very long time, you know, it's kind of been a misconception that Republicans are the party of, you know, big business, because you've got the coastal elites. You've got Democrats who have controlled California and New York and our financial centers for a very long time in very blue states. So that didn't happen by accident. Democrats are really the party of the fat cats, and that's only becoming more and more true. So, you know, it's interesting to watch how this has happened. But, yeah, those are my thoughts on it for now.
Okay. And you mentioned that with Donald Trump. Very interesting. If you really looked at this pre-COVID, I mean, this economy was humming. And unemployment for women, for blacks, for Hispanics were at close to record lows, if not record lows. Unemployment. My understanding is black home ownership was up 6 percentage points. So I actually have seen, when we look out here in Colorado, the face of Republicans here, it's pretty exciting because it is across the spectrum. And in fact, I have a friend of mine, Reggie Carr, who is his new project is I'm a Uniter, to unite people around this American idea. But he'd been in the, and is in the black entertainment business for many, many years. And it wasn't until he heard a candidate talk about intellectual property rights that he became politically involved. And it was Donald Trump talking about intellectual property rights. China's been ripping us off for years. And so this whole property rights thing was what brought him to the table. And like I say, he's been in the black entertainment business for many years. So the whole face is changing of the Republican Party, Alex.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I mean, I think the most recent example of that is in Virginia. You saw Hispanics go for Glenn Youngkin by about 12 points in a state that Joe Biden won overwhelmingly in 2020. So we're seeing a change in not only that, but you had the attorney general in Virginia, Winsome Sears, first black woman in an office that high in Virginia, and then also a Cuban-American, who won a statewide seat in Virginia as well. So you've got three Republicans, and you've got two of them who are in minority communities, and then the other one who we saw a big shift in minority voters, too, for the Republican candidate. Not only that, but we saw, for instance, in Texas, in South Texas, which is very heavily blue, we saw in a community that is 95% Hispanic that went for Hillary Clinton in 2016 by 33 points, shift to Donald Trump in 2020 to go him by 6 points. So as you said, the face of the Republican Party is changing. And contrary to what the Democrats try to constantly tell everybody, the Republican Party is extremely diverse, and it is only becoming more diverse as we speak to the issues that they care about, that minorities care about, which is issues that we all care about, right? It's about family values and about faith and about the economy.
Safe communities.
And great communities. And so, the Republicans for a long time have been that party, the party for them, and now we're really just seeing that we're communicating those values to them, and then we're also listening to them about what they care about. So the Republican Party is a big tent party. We have always tried to be a big tent party, and we're just going to continue to try to do that. I mean, right now, the RNC, we've invested in 10 community centers around the country, including three in Texas. There's one in Florida. There's one in Georgia. And so we're doing these kind of all around the country, and we're investing in different communities, the black community, the Asian Pacific American community, the Hispanic community, to really try to talk with them and create relationships in these communities to build our party. Because like you said, this is, the face of the Republican Party is changing, and we're trying to capitalize on that and speak to them and show them that our party is the party of their values.
So we have about 3 minutes left, Alex Keeler, and my concern is with these successes, these Republican election successes, that the Democrat Party is, those that are pulling it so far to the left, are going to double down. We've seen that there's kicking around the idea of closing down another pipeline, things that hurt people, instead of saying, wait a minute, we might want to take a pause here. I'm concerned they're going to double down. What's your thoughts on that, Alex?
I think they absolutely are double down. I think you've already seen it. If you watched, I know that most of your listeners, and I certainly wasn't, but I saw a few clips of MSNBC and CNN and the other, media establishment left outlets after the Virginia win. And of course, they were talking about, how this was somehow racist and, white supremacy was at play here. Essentially calling parents who stood up for their kids racists. So I think they are going to start doubling down. They did it right after the Virginia win. You also saw that just the very next day, right, they tried in the middle of the night to pass this infrastructure bill that's going to put even more debt on the backs of Americans, even though they say the bill is paid for. It is definitely not paid for. And then not only that, but that's going to add to inflation. So we're already seeing from their actions that they're going to double down, which makes it all the more important that we continue to fight and work and not get complacent so that we can take back the House and the Senate in 2022 and stop all these radical policies that are coming from the Biden administration and coming out of Washington, D.C. Because if we don't, you know, we're in real trouble. So.
Well, we definitely are. And Alex Keeler, I really appreciate you joining us today. And there is hope. This is exciting what happened with the stay on regarding the OSHA mandate, which happened with the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals down in New Orleans. And so there is good news out there. We need to focus on that. Alex Keeler, I so appreciate you joining us today, and you know, keep up the good work.
You bet. Thank you. Keep up the hope. Keep the faith.
There you go. And my friends, as we look at all these issues on the show, we look at them through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We search for truth and clarity. And as we do that, we need to remember that we cannot give up hope, and we need to keep our focus on the faith, the foundation that was founded this country here, and that is a faith in the divine provider. And the divine provider is not government. It is certainly God. So in that case, our quote for the end of the day is George Orwell. He said this: in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.